Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. As you know, we are going through this book called Windows on God's World by Dr. James A. Tucker. And I'm encouraging my listeners to take one devotion and make it a theme for a week. But every day I give a new devotion, and we just have enjoyed being in so many different places. Today we're going to talk about eagles. The eagle knew his voice. And our scripture is 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. While raising a golden eagle in captivity, a boy and his father worked as a team to train the bird and to film the training process. The first part of the film was shot last, so the eagle's capture was filmed when all other work was completed and the bird knew what was expected of her. While the father operated the camera, the boy baited a net trap with a live squirrel. The eagle watched with interest as she sat perched on a cliff some distance away. Then she dived for the prey. When the eagle hit the cage, the boy released the net so that she became entangled in the meshes. With a great deal of struggling, the boy managed to grasp the eagle's ankles, tie them, fold the great bird's wings, and put her into a sack. The bird was not afraid because she knew her captor, but she was apparently enraged at the trick that had been played on her. During training, the net had never been used. From that day on, the eagle would not allow the boy to come near her, although she remained loving and gentle with his father. Curious about the eagle's ability to recognize the boy, the group working at producing the film decided to find out whether she knew him by his physical features or by his voice or both. They already knew that the bird could pick out the boy in a crowd, but to test her observation powers further, they dressed him as a woman. It took the eagle less than 2 minutes to find him in a group of people, even though he was disguised. Then to test her ability to recognize his voice, several men and the boy called her name from a spot hidden from the bird's view. When the men called, she seemed to recognize her name. But only when the boy called did she leave her perch and fly to a perch near the source of the boy's voice. Later experiments showed that even after an absence of 8 weeks, the eagle still recognized the boy's voice. The eagle learned a lesson our text teaches us. Deceived once, she was determined not to be tricked again. We must learn the same lesson. If Satan manages to fool us once, we must determine, with Jesus' help, never to be caught again. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings. And Lord, please keep Satan from tempting us and attacking us and deceiving us. May this be a great day where we serve you, doing our schoolwork, doing our chores. May everything we do be to your honor and glory. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So today we're going to discuss creative ways that we can learn about the golden eagle. And I've put a video about the golden eagle, a couple of interesting videos that I found interesting, on my Pinterest site, and it's MR Gamblin 2, that's my call letters, and then you go to the board Windows on God's World, and you'll find there 2 videos about the golden eagle. And you'll also find how to draw a realistic golden eagle head. Wonderful. And then a simple how to make a bald eagle with using handprints, which is really a fun thing to do with little kids, but big kids like to do it too. Even I like to do it. So whatever you do, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. This is the corner of the show where I talk about different educational philosophies, and we're talking about homeschool philosophies. So when someone talks to you about, well, what type of homeschool do you do? You can say, well, we're doing unschooling. We're doing mat schooling. We're eclectic. We do school at home. And another one is called unit studies. There is so many different types of curriculum that work with unit studies. Gather Round is basically unit studies. And the nice thing about this is if you have a variety of students, and large families do, of all different developing levels and ages, Gather Round is specifically made for that, so that you can gather all of the children around and learn one unit at the same time. Of course, you don't expect your little kindergartner or first grader to do the same level of work as your seventh or eighth grader, but you get to talk about and learn and explore and really generate that curiosity among your children, because you're all focused on the same thing rather than going from grade level to grade level like a tutor. So unit studies might be a good homeschool philosophy for your homeschool. It's really nice, you know, we label things to help us make sense of our world. So these are nice things to do. Questions parents ask. I don't know if I have enough time to answer this question, but it is certainly one that I'm interested in. This question comes from Bethany, and she has an 18-year-old daughter. And she told the daughter she's welcome to stay at home as long as she does the following. She has to be home on time for curfew, so she has a curfew. She needs to clean the bathroom twice a week and wash dishes twice a week. That's nice. She doesn't have to do it every day. But her daughter doesn't do that. She doesn't remember to clean. She doesn't remember to do the dishes, and she doesn't come home at her curfew time. So the family decided to change the rules and say, okay, you can pay $200 a month for rent for your room. And she's not happy about that. She wants to move out. What would you do? Would you let her move out? Well, she is 18, so the thing that I would do with my emerging adults, I didn't charge them rent, but I did have a curfew. And if they were going to be past a curfew, just let me know. And yeah, we had our moments, because giving birth to that adult child is more emotionally painful than giving birth to the child initially. That emerging adult is so scary, because we don't want our kids to make mistakes, but guess what? They're going to make mistakes. God still loves them. God's still going to be with them. You need to still love them and let her move out if she wants to move out. Both of my daughters moved out, and then guess what? They came back, you know. So as time goes on, you begin to have some space between those hot moments, and both of my daughters have turned out to be wonderful and my best friends now, but it was kind of dicey there for a while. So my heart goes out to you. We're certainly praying for you, and I'll look forward to seeing if how it's turned out in a few years. Let's give it a few years. This question is from a homeschooling family that recently moved from California to Utah, and it has not turned out how they thought it would be. Everything has ended up costing more in the home that they were building, and things aren't working out, and now she's newly pregnant with baby number 6. She misses her family so much, and everybody is Mormon, and she's evangelical. An evangelical Christian, and she just doesn't fit in, and she's just so depressed. What can she do? I'll tell you, when things really get going rough for me, I just know Satan is working hard to dissuade me, to pluck me out of the job that God has given me to do. And there's something about recognizing that that really helps one buck up and go, okay, this is a huge mission field. If I'm the only evangelical in my neighborhood and everybody else is Mormon, I have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of people to minister to. And guess what? They'll minister to you as well. You'll learn from them as well. And someday looking back, you'll see how God led you, even though Satan tried to dissuade you, God led you and sustained you. So hang in there. Jessica says, I need help. I have lesson plans for 4 kids, 3rd grade, 4th grade, 5th grade, 7th grade. Well, I only have a few minutes here, but my advice is to just set that side of stuff, set that curriculum product aside for a moment and do a unit study all together so you're not having to grade a whole bunch of different things. Maybe just keep math. Just keep math and set everything else aside and just do a unit study, thematic study, whatever you want to call it, where everyone's studying the same thing. So that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. That's what I always say because it's only my advice. Now we're still talking about the idea of daycare, school-age daycare, and early child daycare. With the revolution of homeschooling, we've more and more had school-age daycares opening up. And that's a good cottage business for you as well. So as you think about that, the second half of our show is talking about spirituality across cultures. And you know, every family has a different culture. So these principles that we're talking about from nationality to nationality also apply to families. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion. I have a wonderful guest. Her name is Lily Wong, and I want to tell you a little bit about her. Lily Wong became a Christian in her early teens, and she was fascinated by the text, "Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And this has become her mantra. Wong is truly an inspired voice for children's rights. She has spent more than 30 years being their advocate around the world. She's more than a principal and a teacher. She connects, inspires, and cares deeply, says her church pastor in Singapore. She is an evangelist at heart. In 1976, Wong earned her ED degree at Andrews University, followed by postdoctoral research at both Stanford and Syracuse universities. Wong is a woman with clear opinions and strong convictions, and one of her convictions is that God has wanted a Christian educational presence in Singapore. When the government acquired the property of Southeast Asian Union College in 1996, it was voted to relocate the college to Thailand. Wong, who had served on the faculty, stayed in Singapore and developed plans for Advent Link, a highly respected program for training preschool teachers and principals. She sought and obtained affiliation with the Edith Cowan University in Australia, and presently, Advent Link enrolls 300 students and is financially independent. Wong specializes in early childhood education in the Pacific Rim nations. Recently, she traveled twice to Vietnam as a trainer of trainers, implementing a national preschool curriculum for that country. A faculty of Loma Linda University says, Lily has taken many a child by the hand and has given that child a chance to experience how to live life within the arms of God's love and protection. Welcome, welcome, Lily. We're talking about spirituality across the cultures. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I am an educator. I train early childhood teachers for the nation, and I also do some of this training for the nations around Singapore, with this in Southeast Asia. Been doing that for Myanmar, Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam.
So when you train early childhood educators, what type of education do they have to have before they're allowed to teach in those countries?
in those, most of the countries, they need to have high school, to finish high school. But in Singapore, they are stricter. They not only have to finish high school, but they have to have good grades. And especially the English language requirement is very high.
Now, compared to the North American division type of early childhood education, what differences are there between the two?
Our philosophy for EdvenLink, SAUC, is that we train our teachers to have three components. That is the cognitive development, the physical, and also the spiritual development.
Yes, the whole person.
Yeah, the whole person. And that is something other training agency or schools or university do not do.
Yes. Now, how long have you been working in this field?
I have been in education for a long time. And I shall not reveal it because you don't
look
know how
so young.
Old I am. But for the EdvenLink training school for children and family study, we had it since 1999. And it has been accredited. And mainly all the teachers that came over to study with us are funded by the government. And we have a variety of people that study in our school. We have the Muslim because we are surrounded by countries that are Muslim. Then we have the Hindus, we have the Buddhists, and we have also some Christians that come. But they're all from all walks of life.
Now, when I think of early childhood and spirituality, we've traditionally thought of, you know, teaching them about God and about Jesus. How do you bridge all the gaps? How do you do that?
You know, when we talk about spirituality, we cannot think of it in terms of religion. Because if we do that, we'll never get people to come to listen to you.
Yes.
Or to be, you know, to be attracted. But spirituality, everybody has it. Children has it. And if we do not educate the teachers who are taking care of the children of what it is to be, then we have kind of lost the importance of that part that is in their total development of being spiritual in that sense. So it is more on a relationship, has to do with nature. It's something that awakes in the children when they deal with nature, when they have a relationship with somebody that is of a different level. And we try to deal on that. And based on that, whoever that comes to us, they can kind of relate it to their own religion. But basically, I still think every one of us have in us a being, a spiritual being that they are relating to.
Yes, maybe as we go through the show, you can think of some stories to tell us. In the United States, we often have made a difference. We've said, okay, we're going to give a developmental program, or we're going to give an academic program. Is there a certain term that your program for these, that you promote with these teachers, that you want them, is it just developmental or is it academic?
In Singapore, sad to say, we emphasize a lot on the academic, you know, program, that the teachers have to be very well-versed so that they can teach it to the children. And even in the preschool, we teach language. 2 years ago, BBC London came and interviewed me on television. I don't know what they call that. I can't remember what the thing was. They're asking about the baby schools, because we have a lot of baby schools in Singapore where the young babies, as young as 2 months old, are put in a school where they train them to read and write and, you know, put them in a row to teach them.
Aww.
And I was telling them that this is not the way babies should be put in a school setting and teach in this session.
Yes.
So this was broadcast everywhere because I hear people from Australia, from Thailand, from Malaysia, and say, hey, we saw you on TV, you know. But it was never shown in Singapore.
And that's...
because that is... what they have done is... actually, we promote infant toddler caregiving. Mm-hmm. Because Singapore, we need a lot of our ladies to go to work. We are short of human resources. And that was something that I also kind of advocated, because I said the people who are taking care of the infant has to be trained properly. But there are some, of course, commercial people, you know, so they make it into a schools. And a lot of our parents there are very, in Chinese we say, kiasu, afraid to lose.
Yeah.
They want to give the babies a head start mm-hmm. that when they go to preschool, they'll be able to read and write and do all those stuff. So they wanted the babies very young to, you know, do flashcard mm-hmm. and read the alphabet and words, you know, and numbers and all these things.
So when I see that kind of thing advertised on television, which I have, where little infants are sitting there, you know, reading. Mm-hmm. So you think that was where it came from? I mean, do you think it was inspired from Singapore baby
it
school?
It could be.
There are, I'm sure, some babies that can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the average, the baby needs all that love and attachment and the, you know,
yes,
interaction with the adult, not to line them up, you know, in a group and start teaching them.
That's a really good thing to bring up, because I'm sure there's some listeners who have thought, oh, my child might be getting behind because I don't have this kit and I'm not putting these flashcards in front of my baby.
Because of all the research, you know, that has come out, and even in the history of our education, mother is the one that should be taking care of the baby.
Yes.
Because that's what the baby needs, the attachment.
Yes.
So that the achievement later on will be greater. This baby will all be burned out by the time they come to kindergarten.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they started them too early. And based on actually recent study, still language and literacy is very important. It's actually the basis mm-hmm. for a lot of the other component. Yet we say the developmental understanding is very important. And in the developmental understanding of children growing up, I always use the Chinese Tai Chi or Kung Fu stand. You know, when a person is doing the Kung Fu, usually his focus is on only one leg. And that leg has to be grounded firmly on the ground so that he can use the other two hands and the other leg to kick and to to do all those stuff. And that leg, to me, is that spiritual, the spiritual strength that will help them in their cognitive, in their physical, in their social, emotional.
So how have you implemented this?
We don't call it spiritual development. Many times we relate it to the very important part. I have about 30-hour course in infant toddler, in child development number one and child development number two, which is for the primary group children. And in every one of those, there's a 30-hour extra. So it's 90 hours total, just dealing with the social, emotional, spiritual development.
Well, thanks for being with us. You know, I would love for you to shoot me an email, and I have an email dedicated just for this show called myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com. All spelled out, myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com. And that's really what we want to be. We want to be your homeschool companion. And, you know, you can write a question in there, comment, or if you'd like to be interviewed with our technology that we have today, we can interview you clear across the United States. And I think that would make some neat interviews. We'd like to interview that family that's homeschooling a lot of children, that family that's homeschooling a few children. We want to hear your perspective, your challenges, the philosophies you have chosen, the techniques that you found that work for you. Your story could be a true blessing to somebody else. So just shoot me an email at myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com. And as we close the show, I really, truly mean this when I say, God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. mrgmediaministries.com.